words of Scripture just proclaimed turn into various and beautiful melodies in each of your hearts. Please be seated. Now, did that stuff that you Xerox, Jeff, can you pass that out to the people? The sheets. Well, we're going to have some fun, hopefully.
You're missed. About singing, does it?
Well, that's up to you. You're moved by the Spirit. You have to be moved by the Spirit. Crazy there. See, I have a verse from Eric Clapton's lyrics. Eric Clapton, some of you may or may not know him, you know, a famous guitarist and musician. Known a lot of tragedy in his life. His child, for example, falling out of a big high-rise apartment building and dying. And then one of his very best friends, you know, dying from drug overdose and stuff like that. So he's known a lot of tragedy in his life. And, you know, like a lot of us, in and out of faith, struggling with faith. But this particular song of his, Holy Mother, Holy Mother, hear my prayer. Somehow I know you're still there. Send me, please, some peace of mind. Take away this pain. So, I'm going to, all of these verses now are going to be based upon this, more or less upon this tune of Eric Clapton's. But I thought I'd start with this actual verse in the middle. Now, if I were to sing you all the verses from Eric Clapton, or if you are familiar with it, they can, in some sense, be a downer because he's dealing with pain and he's trying to process pain. But this is kind of in the middle of the verses, and it's the verse that I would say illustrates the hopefulness of what he's doing. So processing, prayer. When we pray, I like to think that prayer is a form of processing. We're processing things. And processing is good, and there's nothing wrong with processing. And we've been through a lot here at St. Paul's. And we've been processing a lot. Of course, we've been processing the pandemic and what that has meant to us. And we've each had to process that in various ways. Perhaps you had the feeling when you first wanted to do, you had something planned. I remember I had a, yes, you're going to be surprised, I had a golf match planned. And I go to the golf course. And everything is shut down. Not a soul around. I'm the only idiot in the parking lot. And a lot of it was like that. Remember, go and think back at the beginning of it. Everything was shut down. What are we going to do? I'm in these four walls. I might actually have to get to learn to know my husband and wife again. Am I going to survive that? Are they going to survive? Are my children going to survive that? What kind of things are we going to do? Remember, that's the way to process and work it through. And hopefully, I think we've done it and we're beginning to get through that. So that's one of the forms of pain we've had to cope with. And then, of course, there is the unbelievable social and political pathology in our society. You may not want to hear that from me, but I'm saying it as I see it. And we all have to deal with that. Does it affect our sleep? Does it affect how we talk to our friends? What we say and what we don't say. All that stuff. So we're processing all of that as a nation. And we may choose not to do it verbally so much, but you know, there's the people who process outwardly, and then there's like the little animals under the ground have all these holes in there. Some people process under the ground, all these holes. I'll go here. I'll go here. I'll go there. You know, all that kind of stuff. So you can bet your life everybody's trying to process that. This is all part of our God-given way of dealing with things, and I think that's a kind of a prayer, too. And then last, about this business of processing, you here at St. Paul's have been in a transition. How long have you been in a transition, Jeff?
A couple of years.
Has it been easy?
No.
Anybody think it's been easy?
No.
So you've all processed it in different ways. I remember I would call, Miss Polly, I hope you don't mind this, you've been my co-rector for a year and a half. So I'd have to, about every so often, I'd say, well, I better call Miss Polly. And she'll tell me what I need to hear, even if I don't want to hear it. And it's been wonderful. And of course, others of you have done the same thing. But Miss Paula has a way. You don't mind my singling you out. You have a way of processing. So we've gone through that. And so there's been ups. And it's like a paschal mystery, you know, the death, resurrection. We have to let go, but then hopefully in letting go, we rise in a more expansive, wonderful way. And so you're about ready to let go of one phase, not just me and Pat, and we of you, which is not easy, but we're doing it. And it's, you know, it's not easy because we've enjoyed each other. But you're learning to let go of one beautiful phase of your life. And thank God you're going to have Father Mark coming in for a while to kind of ease that really immediate transition. And then you're going to move into a new phase. And hopefully it will be the Paschal Mystery, the death and resurrection kind of experience and so on like that. So some of those things are in mind. So if you... St. Paul. That is absolutely the very best picture or portrait or statue of carving of Paul I have ever seen. And it is so true to what our historical sources tell us about Paul. Some of you may not know, it comes from an old oak tree planted out here and it was dying. And it was time for it to come down. And so a local carver came, cut the tree down, and another one carved that particular likeness of St. Paul. So he's the patron of our church, St. Paul. So we believe in the mystical body of Christ, that he is with us. We're not just remembering him. He's here. He is here with us. And so it makes me think of St. Paul's, the parish that we are. So just as Paul, you know, you remember the famous story on his way to Damascus. He's a fierce Pharisee. He calls himself a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And he's He thinks that these Jews who are converting to being followers of Christ, followers of Jesus Messiah, he thinks they're just deadly wrong. And he's chasing them. He's on the road. A lot of them had, these Jewish Christians had to flee from the Jerusalem area, the Judea area, into the desert region, Damascus area, and to avoid being attacked by their fellow Jews, if their fellow Jews had felt that these Christians were betraying. And religion and politics are always mixed up here. And they were certainly in those days, because the Jews had an exemption from worshiping the emperor. It was a very, very touchy exemption that the Jews were granted by the Roman occupiers of Palestine. And the implicit agreement was, don't cause trouble. We'll give you an exemption, but if you cause any trouble, the wrath of Rome will come down upon you. So these Jews, watching these Jewish members becoming followers of Jesus, who now are beginning to worship Jesus, a different kind of Messiah, a different kind of Lord. Remember, the title of the emperor was Lord. Kyrios in Greek. So when Christians start calling Jesus Lord, they're saying in essence to the empire, you have your Lord, the emperor, but we have our Lord. And this causes problems. And the Jews who have this special exemption, they're nervous. They're really nervous. This is going to cause problems for us with the Romans. So, Paul's on his way to attack these Jews who have deserted to being followers of Jesus. And what happens to Paul? What's knocked off a horse? There's no horse in the story. Part of it. That's part of the historical legend. It may have been, but there's nothing in the story. In Acts of the Apostles, it says he was blinded. And I think one of the reasons why he was blinded, this lasted for quite a while, and I think one of the reasons why he was blinded is because I think the Lord was trying to say to him, you know, Paul, you think you see things clearly, but you don't see things clearly. You don't really see things clearly. I'm going to help you learn to see things in a new way. I'm going to help you learn to see by way of faith and trust. People who are blinded have to learn to trust a lot. He had to learn the way of trust. And we at St. Paul's, we have, you know, through our various experiences here, and you more than I, and Pat, more than me and Pat, you've been carved, like you're like a statue of Paul. You've been carved and whittled, like Paul was carved and whittled. And in varying ways, maybe you've been blinded too, because you haven't quite clearly seen the path ahead for quite some time. But now you're beginning to see again. But we've had to trust for a while. Trust for a long time. We're learning the way of trust. That's that one here. So. This is the Feast of the Holy Trinity. This is the great feast. And, you know, whenever I was a theologian, professor of theology at the university of Duquesne, and that you never want a former professor of theology to celebrate the Eucharist on Trinity Sunday. Every theologian thinks they can solve the mystery, but they can't. The best way, I think, to talk about the mystery of the Holy Trinity is to sing about it, not to talk about it. So, I thought we might. Do you want to sing along with it? Love befriending the Son Jesus who came among us as our friend, and love descending, the Holy Spirit descends upon us all and brings us into that friendship that Jesus has with his Father. That, I think, is the mystery of the Trinity in many, many ways. Like, for example, you see two close friends somewhere really talking with each other and really enjoying each other's company. You say to yourself, I really would like to join those two and enjoy the conversation. And so you go over to them and you stand there. And if they don't let you in, if they keep the conversation closed, that's not the Trinity. The Holy Spirit always brings people into the conversation of the Father and the Son. The Holy Spirit opens up all conversations to share. That's what's involved there. So when you say, three sons joined in bright.